Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we will be going over the week one slate of games, good old fashioned CSFL football, and it was also the inaugural weekend for the MSFL, their first ever games playing spring football. So we're going to go ahead and hop right into that. So starting with the CSFL first, we're going to start with the game that I had the pleasure of being at, Navy versus Chestnut Hill. Navy took this one 27-7, and my player of the game for that one was senior running back Alex Tota. He finished with 26 carries, 97 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So this one began the title defense for Navy. Started off the game a little bit slow, but they picked it up, gave him about 21 unanswered, and then ultimately just took the game home, time of possession, and just having a stout run game. Really impressed, like I said, with Alex Tota. You figure that he's going to be one of the best running backs in the league this year, also going to be a guy who should be up, if he continue to have strong games like this, should be up for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, some awards from the Hub as well. So he looked to be in mid-season form. When I'm describing him, I use the analogy like he's a rifle, like the way he just slashes and seems like he's already at full speed when he hits the hole, helps him turn out an extra yard or two once he makes contact with guys. And whenever there is a lane or there is a crease, it seems like he's already, like I said, full speed before he even gets to the second or third level. So really, really effective night running the ball for him. And junior quarterback Brennan Atwood makes his return. He missed bulk of the season last year due to an injury. Despite that, Navy still won the CSFL championship. But I know he's definitely coming in with something to prove. He had a steady game, finished with 140 yards through the air, 1 touchdown. But he had a career day on the ground, adding 87 rushing yards, which is the most he's ever had in his career. Definitely looked springy, looked more explosive than I've ever seen him. He's never really had to be in a situation where he had to run like that. Say it all the time, this is Navy's probably most dynamic, well-balanced offense they've had in a long, long time, thanks to Atwood and junior wide receiver Andrew Margiotta, who I'll get to later. But Atwood really did look springy, let you know that a lot of those read option plays, quarterback design runs, they didn't go anywhere in the Navy playbook. They just haven't had to tap into them as much. So, you know, maybe this will be something we see more of from Atwood in the future. Again, definitely not as explosive as a Braden Schmiel or a Brendan Coleman, but he definitely is capable of getting the job done. Had a really, really big run for 57 yards, and he had a lot of good scrambles behind the line of scrimmage, making it happen, looking for guys downfield. So expect to see some more of that from him as the season goes on. But I was really, really impressed with how he utilized his legs in this game. On the defensive side of the ball, junior defensive lineman Devin Martin picked up where he left off last year, finished with 4 tackles, added 2.5 tackles for loss, and added a sack and a half. He looks like he's going to be one of the better defensive linemen in the league this year. I picked him to be one of the better defensive linemen in the league this year when I did my positional outlooks for the league. Definitely going to be a guy who you have to worry about as an opposing offensive coordinator. Very, very chaotic, great motor. Still looking to see some more refined pass rush moves instead of just relying on his good motor and athleticism. But that being said, he's still going to be hard for tackles, interior guys to block one-on-one. So, and definitely seems to be the most consistent guy on the D-line. Seems like there's a lot of rotation everywhere else, but he's going to be one of the mainstays on that defensive line for Navy throughout the season. So he definitely had an impactful game. Had a lot of pressures too. Lived in the backfield for most of the night. So Navy, all in all, had a really, really well-rounded game to kick off their championship defense. And they'll actually be staying on the road next week as they go to visit Army. I believe this is the second season in a row they're playing each other very, very early. I think they played each other week 2 last year as well. So Navy stays on the road next week to head up to West Point, New York to visit Army. Then we go to the other team in this matchup, Chestnut Hill. Chestnut Hill actually came out with a lot of energy, a lot of juice. They actually took the lead early. And at halftime, the game was Navy lead, I think, 10-7 at halftime. But Chestnut Hill had it 7-0 for a little bit. Scored early. Freshman quarterback Anthony Cancel threw his first career touchdown to senior wide receiver Justy Schneider, which was also his first career touchdown. Anthony, you know, he definitely did look like a freshman quarterback, saw the tools that makes him attractive at the position, but definitely going to be, you know, ups and downs of a freshman quarterback, but that's what you get in during the season. You know, we saw a lot of it last year with the plethora of freshman quarterbacks that played last year, and historically we see it. Going to be some highs, going to be some lows, but if they can just, you know, bottle up some of his more spectacular plays and performances, they're going to have a very good quarterback for years to come. So nothing to be ashamed of from the performance he put out there. Fortunately, he also was knocked out of the game some point in the third, some point in the fourth, so he did not finish the game. Backup CJ Small came in to relieve him of his duties, but, you know, hopefully he's okay this weekend. You know, thankfully, but he wasn't the only quarterback who didn't finish the game this weekend, so nothing to be ashamed of there. Lots of guys, you know, got banged up a little bit, had to exit the game, but that's where the old adage, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready, comes from. A lot of backup quarterbacks came in the game, as we'll get to later, and change the game for the better for their football teams. Back to the Griffins. Running the ball, you know, was not very productive throughout the day. Anthony Broderick did some things on the ground for them, but outside of that, that was it. Senior linebacker Kobe Goldsmith led the Griffins defensively. He finished with 14 tackles and 0.5 tackles for loss. And freshman defensive lineman Jonathan Harvelak, starting off the year. Remember, if I say your name wrong, shoot me a DM with the pronunciation. Clean it up ASAP. He had a big day, biggest day of his career. I'm going to start off his career. 9 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Very, very impressive for the young freshman to get in there and do what he had to do, make an impact for the team. And freshman linebacker Lex Williams added 10 tackles as well, one tackle for loss and 1 sack. So to have 2 freshmen come into a game against the defending champs and, you know, be 2 of the 3 leaders defensively in the game is a testament to what they could possibly do throughout this year. So I'll definitely be interested in keeping an eye on those two. As some more Chestnut Hill leadership returns, a senior linebacker Ryan Jakeman did not play due to injury. So we'll see where Williams falls into place once Ryan comes back. But definitely going to be 2 guys to keep your eyes on. They had big game like this week 1, who no telling what they'll be able to do throughout the rest of the year. Chestnut Hill hits the road next week, going up north to visit Mansfield. So that was how we finished our first game of the week, the game that I was at. So let's keep it rolling. Second game that Friday night was played between Outerson Brodus and Penn. Penn took that one 32-7. My player of the game for this one, senior quarterback Andrew Paolini. He finished with 320 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, added 40 yards on the ground as well as another touchdown on the ground. New Penn offense, you know, it's no secrets, no surprise. Lost a lot of talent last year, lost a lot of all-time great talent. Most likely 3 future Hall of Famers playing on the same team, on the same offense. Very rarely seen. So you knew it was going to be a lot of new faces, a lot of new names, a lot of new places for the Penn offense. But they didn't seem to stop Paolini. Again, had a great day. I believe that was his first or maybe first or second 300-yard passing game of his career. So that's something to definitely be proud of, especially when you're out there playing with such young guys. Shows that these couple of practices, first week or 2 of practices, really, really helped, you know, get these young guys sharp and get these young guys ready for CSFL football. Big game from freshman wide receiver Brandon Graves. His first game of his career, finished with 5 receptions, 128 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Brandon is a big wide receiver. Reminds me of guys from the past, like a DJ McClain for Mansfield. Marcus Jones, who played for Penn, you know, towards the tail end of my career, 2016, 2017. He was a big target. I'm talking about 6'2", 6'3", type of guys. So he really fits that just big wide receiver mold. And, you know, he scored in their alumni game the previous week as well. So he could be in for a huge season. Definitely going to be a load for defensive backs to try and cover. going to put a lot of pressure on opposing secondary. So I'll be interested to see what he does throughout the season. Sophomore wide receiver Jake Wang, who's another guy that I projected to have a big, big year with a lot of production, you know, being gone. He should be a guy to step in and step in right away and, you know, add some value to your wide receiver core. He finished with 5 receptions, 69 yards, and 1 touchdown. These two young wide receivers should be making plays throughout the year. Again, maybe not so much as with the quarterback position, but freshman at any position, you know, you're going to have lots of highs, lots of lows. So I'd be interested to see how consistent they can keep this production, but definitely started the season off on the right foot with those two. On the defensive side of the ball, senior leadership has stepped up. Senior defensive lineman Travis Legum had one of his better games. He finished with 4 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Lived in Alderson Broda's backfield, caused a lot of havoc. He's definitely a guy up front who's going to be, you know, one of the more impressive guys throughout the season. The way they play their defense, the defensive line doesn't always get a lot of shine. Very, very predicated on freeing up the linebackers to make plays, but Travis is definitely a guy who's going to be capable of getting his own, you know, feeding himself while also setting the table for some other players on that defense. So really excited to see that he got some early season production from him, from that nose tackle, defensive tackle spot. Sophomore linebacker Matt McKillop found himself in the backfield a lot as well. He finished with 3 tackles, all of which were tackles for loss. So 3 tackles, 3 tackles for loss from the young linebacker as well. I don't believe Lewis Evans played star linebacker, number 28 for Penn. So, again, couple high-level CSFL defenders not playing this weekend. Hopefully he'll be back soon, because next week Penn will go on the road to visit St. Thomas Aquinas up in New York. So hopefully we'll see him there. He'll be a great player, a great addition to that defense there. So Penn took that one 32-7. On the other side of the ball, we have Alderson Broaddus. Alderson Broaddus was in the game early. I believe the halftime score might have been 16-7. So they were in it up until halftime, then just got away from them. Couldn't keep pace, but senior quarterback Tim Tillman had a very, very good day, very efficient day. He threw for 254 yards, 1 touchdown, just 1 interception. That is one of his highest career passing totals. His career at Alderson Broaddus. So definitely started off on the right foot despite not getting the win, showing that the passing offense might be ready to fire on all cylinders this year for Alderson Broaddus. Sophomore wide receiver Jacob Perez and freshman wide receiver Blake Baxter combined for 10 receptions, 163 yards, and a touchdown. So those two were definitely the favorite targets for Tillman. Perez, who was listed as a tight end last year, but, you know, in spring football, sometimes it is kind of blurred. Definitely not one of the bigger, legitimate tight ends like Ben Klaus the years past, but listed at wide receiver this year. But him and Baxter were clearly the favorite two targets of the night. Perez has proven to be a reliable pass catcher for Alderson Broaddus, so you can expect him to do things throughout the season. And Baxter started his career off on the right foot, you know, proving he could be a reliable target as well. Sophomore linebacker Jabari Gittens had an impactful night, finished with 6 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. He showed flashes of his ability last season, but only played 2 games, I believe, due to injury. One of those games was very impressive as well. It was a 10-plus tackle game. So he coming back rolling with a head of steam. Looks like he could be one of the more impressive young defensive players in the CSFL. Really excited to see what he can do and how he can continue to grow, offer some more playmaking ability for that young Alderson Broaddus defense. He could be a star in this league based off of that production and with little production we saw from him last season. Alderson Broaddus heads back home to West Virginia next week as they welcome Caldwell. Then we go into our next game. This one should be a lot quicker. Army played Cornell, I believe, at home. Army won this one 72-0. My player of the game is junior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie. Finished with 185 yards and 3 touchdowns. Army offense, safe to say, was firing on all cylinders. Did whatever they wanted. Didn't really matter who was in the backfield, who was at quarterback. Mikal Wilkie started his, you know, era as a full-time starter off great. Finished with, again, 185 yards, 3 touchdowns. Although he didn't start the game, I believe backup quarterback Seth Brown started the game. It'll be interesting to see if that is what they do moving forward. I doubt it. I think they used this as a situation to get, you know, their younger guy, the backup guy, the more dynamic athlete, you know, some good reps, you know, as in-game reps, you know, when a game is safe, secured, you know, lets you know what they think of the opposition there, because I believe he started the game. I believe Boogie didn't even start the game. Who should be the full-time starter. So, you know, that just lets you know how little resistance they got in this game. Ultimately, he did not do great throwing the ball, did decent running the ball. I believe he had 50, 60 yards, maybe 2 rushing touchdowns. But Wilkie ultimately is, you know, the more proven passer in this league. He's the guy who usurped J.C. Watson last season in the championship game. Lots of different guys were on the board that night. Army had 3 different players with a receiving touchdown, 5 different players with at least 1 rushing touchdown, 2 or 3 players with 2 rushing touchdowns. Freshman running back DeAndre Brewings led the team with 64 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Again, lots of love to go around. Not much resistance offered by the Big Red. Defensively, again, lots of balance, I guess would be the word. Lots and lots of balance. Junior linebacker Michael Sullivan led the team with 7 tackles. He had 1 tackle for loss and 1 sack. So, you know, nice to see a new name, new face in that linebacking core there. Traditionally have very, very strong linebackers. You know, not much here. You know, Army, overwhelming victory. Very, very balanced. 7 sacks on the night, 9 tackles for loss. They're going back home next week to compete in what should be a much more competitive game next week against Navy. And, you know, on the flip, Cornell couldn't do much of nothing. Generated 74 total yards of offense. Gave up 530 yards of offense. You know, where do you take away any positives from this? You know, not a lot of turnovers. You know, didn't let the more athletic quarterback of the two just, you know, run for 100 yards. You know, he did run for 2 touchdowns. Didn't, you know, let the backup quarterbacks slice him and dice him. Guess there's a positive you could take away from this, but, you know, not very much else. You know, I don't know, you know, what you really say when you lose 72-0. Cornell's had a, you know, unfortunate history of this the last 3 to 4 years. They're the only team the last 4 years in a row to have at least one game of giving up 60 plus. Last season, I believe they had, last season or the season before the COVID season, they had 2 games giving up 60 plus. So, you know, it is what it is right now. Definitely have a talent issue maybe up there in Ithaca or coaching. You know, I'm not sure. You know, they may squeak one away from a team this year. You know, they got a 7-0 victory last year against Chestnut Hill in a torrential downpour. But, you know, consistently having 70 hung on your head, 60 hung on your head is not, you know, putting the league in a good light when everybody else is playing multiple overtime games and competitive 1-2 score games and the D2s are going after each other and, you know, your Army and Navy are, you know, having to fight each other in Penn and the margin of victory across the league is as small as it's ever been in league history. Yeah, just not a lot to take away from here. So Army took that one 72-0. As we get back into some more competitive games of the weekend, Mansfield played Caldwell last night on Saturday. Caldwell took this one 33-17. My player of the game was senior quarterback Frank DeMio. Finished with 181 yards, 2 touchdowns passing, added 42 yards on the ground. This one was one of the more highly anticipated games of the year. Caldwell Mansfield always have good games with multiple storylines in them. Again, Caldwell took this one this year. They actually ended the season last year with the win over Mansfield. So they picked up right exactly where they left off. Very, very methodical from this Caldwell offense. Every time I watch them, you know, I'm more and more impressed. They just play good old-fashioned football. Lots of play action, lots of runs, hard runs, downhill runs. Not a lot of east to west stuff, north and south stuff exclusively. Again, Frank DeMeo just has a very steady hand. Almost every game he's had, he's thrown for at least 150 to 180 yards, one or two touchdowns, even if there are one or two picks. Never or very rarely will you get from them or that offense just, you know, a 300, 400-yard passing game. But they don't need to. The way they control the time of possession, they play good defense, and DeMeo's accurate with the football, especially on third down, second and long. Very, very accurate with the football. So their methodical, just marching pace has proven to be very, very successful in this league this last two seasons. Expect them to going to do a lot of that again this year. Freshman running back Devin Turner, you know, definitely the lead back. No other ball carrier got more than three or four carries. He had close to 20-odd some carries. He finished with 69 yards on the ground and his first career touchdown as a freshman in his first career game. So he looks like he might be the bell cow there. Again, moving on from future Hall of Famer Carl Watson. It's never easy, but looks like they found another Jersey cat who will be able to tote the rock for them very, very effectively. Defensively, the Cougars had a lot of their usual suspects step up. Sophomore linebacker Andrew Coughlin led the team with 8 tackles, added a half a tackle for loss. He's been a menace in the middle for them since his first game of last year. Going to be a very, very dominant middle linebacker in this league for years to come. Junior defensive lineman Bradley Smith added 6 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks, while senior linebacker Jamal Redis and graduate linebacker Anthony Urano combined for 10 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks. Very, very strong defense, has a perfect blend of experience and youth. Guys who were on that 5-2 team last year and a little bit earlier when, you know, they were struggling as a program to getting up to par. And then lots of young guys. And, you know, Caldwell very famously primarily recruits Jersey, New York, metropolitan area. But they got guys from all over Jersey, North Jersey, right across the river, South Jersey on the beach, everything in between in the middle. So it's always fun to learn more about those guys and where they come from. I know Jersey is a very illustrious state when it comes to high school football. So it's always fun to see them and see those guys blend together and basically have a New Jersey All-Star team when they go out there and they line up on Friday or Saturday night. So always fun to watch them play and do what they do. And they took this one, pretty handily. Caldwell hits the road next week for their first road game of the year as they visit Alderson Brodus. For Mansfield, struggled a little bit on both sides of the ball, defensively getting stops, offensively, you know, getting much outside of Cassid Raving running the ball. Despite, you know, Cassid running the ball very, very effectively, had 112 rushing yards. He only threw for 38 passing yards and 1 interception. So the passing game was not there today for Mansfield. Unfortunately, as well, as I mentioned earlier, Cassid Raymond was another quarterback. Unfortunately, got knocked out of the game a little bit early, a little bit prematurely. Excuse me. Hopefully, he's all right. I like to believe he is okay. Backup quarterback came in the game for them and did some good things. But ultimately, I believe he was injured for a play or two. And Cassid came back in, even if it was just for one play before he went back out. So hopefully that's a sign he's not, you know, terribly injured, whether it was ribs or arm or back. Definitely nothing catastrophic or he wouldn't have been able to enter the game again. So that was a good sign for them, for Mansfield for the future. Freshman Deion Mather relieved Raymond of his duties. He did throw 2 touchdowns, 107 yards, 2 interceptions as well. But again, seems like this is a broken clock. But every single year we have freshman quarterbacks come in who, you know, make it happen. You know, it's not always pretty. It's not always perfect. But it just goes to show you the talent that comes into this league at quarterback. You know, some schools, some divisions, a freshman quarterback gets in and they shit the bed. But that was not the case around both leagues this weekend. Lots of freshman quarterbacks playing. and showing you that they are going to be dudes. They just need a little bit more experience, a little bit more grooming, and then they'll be able to be the catalysts for their football team and win because of them, not despite of them. But that being said, again, struggled a little bit offensively for Mansfield. Cassid Raymond was, you know, the most dynamic rusher for them. Only other guy who had positive rushing yards was Terrence Quaker, defensive back turned, you know, offensive athlete, running back, wide receiver type. Really good to see him get it back out there, man. I know he struggled with injury last 2 years. You know, never want to see that. Was one of the most exciting players in the league when he first entered the league. Again, was playing defensive back at the time, but was a spectacular return man. Did some gadget things for the Mansfield offense that year. Special teams runs, offensive runs, reverses, things like that. So really excited to see him get back out there. Definitely saw the juice in the legs. Didn't turn into a whole bunch of yards rushing or receiving, but definitely saw some spring in his step. So that's exciting to see, you know, especially when you have leg injuries, you always worry about losing that gear. But he seems that, you know, he's recovered fully. So I'll be excited to watch him throughout this year as he, you know, looks to salvage his career and end it with a bang. Receiving wise, senior wide receiver Eugene Hayes was the most productive receiver on the day. He had 5 receptions, 74 yards, and 1 touchdown. Defensive side of the ball, much like Caldwell, with the usual suspects leading the way, leading the charge. Senior linebacker Matt Robert had another 10-plus tackle game, had 12 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 sack to lead the Mansfield defense. And senior defensive lineman Chase Moser made his return to what you would assume would be exclusively playing the defensive front, although he could drop back from time to time. Linebacker showed you that he could do it at a high level last year. But he finished with 6 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. So, usual suspects for Mansfield leading the way for the defense. Ultimately, they did not get it today, but going to be expecting a lot from their best guys throughout the year. Mansfield heads back home up north to welcome Chestnut Hill next week for their first road game of the year. So that was our CSFL slate of games. Navy took it over Chestnut Hill. Penn took it over Alderson Brodus. Army took it over Cornell. And Caldwell took it over Mansfield. So now we're going to move into our MSFL action for the weekend. Amazing games, amazing games, amazing games. Every game went down to the wire, basically. You're going to get that when you have a lot of comparable teams, you know, all equally as young. Except senior here, junior transfer there, sophomore transfer here or there. But it's everybody's first game in the MSFL, excuse me. So it was a lot of young talent, a lot of just explosive plays, you know. Not too much methodical driving, but you'll get that as you get experience, as you get older, as you play more games, as guys more specifically play together. Because that's a big thing in terms of creating that camaraderie and getting that experience. It's not just about having, you know, a few seniors here, a few seniors there, but it's about getting a group of guys to develop together. One of my favorite quotes is from Bobby Bowden, a former Florida State University coach. And it holds true in sprint football. I went through it at Chestnut Hill. I watched Caldwell go through it. I watched St. Thomas Aquinas go through it. Alderson Brodus is going through it. And all of these MSFL teams are going to go through it. He said, first you lose big, then you lose close, then you win close, and finally you win big. And that's just the natural progression of football, and you see it to be true in sprint football as well within the two leagues. So expect, you know, these teams to get better week to week, especially in the MSFL. That's just a staple for football, but especially when you're that young. Huge improvements just from week 1 to week 2, let alone week 1 to what will be their week 6, week 7, whatever two teams make the MSFL playoff. So really excited. Great ball from all 6 teams. I want to make that very, very clear. Saw a lot of, you know, future stars in the making, future Hub Hall of Fame players in the making. It was just a very, very exciting weekend. Got to watch, you know, all of it with the 2 games and was following very, very closely with the live stats with the Midway game, Bellarmine game as well. So just glad to be a part of that weekend, be a part of something special. And, you know, let's go ahead and just hop right into the review. So first game of the weekend for the MSFL was Quincy versus Fontbonne. Quincy took this one 7-0. My player of the game was senior quarterback Taylor Klosemeyer. He finished with 93 passing yards, threw three interceptions, but added 73 rushing yards on the ground as well as one touchdown. Again, historic day for the MSFL. You know, everywhere you look, first touchdowns being scored, first sacks, first rushing touchdowns, first receiving touchdowns, first interceptions. So all over the board, there'll be a lot of guys whose names are etched in stone forever because of what they did this weekend. Like I said, Taylor was the main offensive catalyst for the Quincy offense. Didn't generate, you know, much yards. And, you know, in a 7-0 game, you know, aren't offensively, you know, there's not really an offensive juggernaut, you know, in the game for either side. But it was a lot of good defense of football, a lot of sound tackling, a lot of, you know, defensive playmaking in the secondary. But Losemeyer did what he had to do, you know, put it on the board for him, was the only touchdown of the day. And really just showed that, you know, Quincy has the unique situation of having a senior at quarterback. Again, still their first games in the MSFL, but just, you know, not being 18, turning 19, you know, being a little more developed of a body, more developmentally in terms of, you know, just play retention and things like that. Like, those things go a long way. You know, not too many years ago, St. Thomas Aquinas had a senior in their first year, Luke Sullivan, and he did great things for them. You know, threw over 1,000 yards, had not, I believe, close to 10-plus touchdowns his first year. And they were looking for someone to give them that production ever since. So having a senior quarterback in a year one situation is going to prove to be very, very invaluable for the program for the rest of their program life. You know, he'll always have that he came here, even if it is just for 1 year. You know, I'm not sure about eligibility things, but if it is just for 1 year, he'll have this forever, and the team will forever be in a better spot because they had a senior, you know, that first year they were in the league. On the defensive side of the ball, freshman linebacker Jaree Jones was tied for the team lead in tackles, and he also added 2.5 tackles for loss and two passes broken up. A freshman safety Landon Smith and freshman linebacker Jamarcus Glenn both added four tackles apiece, and they each had an interception. Quincy hits the road again next week as they visit St. Mary of the Woods College in Indiana. Fontbonne, you know, they also took part in this amazing historic day, first MSFL game ever. But ultimately they didn't get the win, had the donut, on their board, but still some good things there. Still some good things. Saw some explosive plays from some skilled players and some good defensive plays from some of the guys on the other side of the ball. Freshman quarterback Zafer Lee struggled, you know, only threw for 54 yards, two interceptions, but again, it's a spectrum, right? You know, you could expect both of these quarterbacks to have better games later in the season. So just difficult first day, but it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you that defines you as a football player, defines you as a man. So it'll be interesting to see how Fontbonne recovers from this as they go into next week. Freshman running back Darian White had the Fontbonne most explosive play of the day when he broke away for a 42-yard run in the first quarter. He finished with 8 rushes for 49 yards. Freshman linebacker Avion Bass was one of the leaders and the bastions of that defense. He finished with 10 tackles and one pass broken up. And freshman defensive lineman Isaiah Sanders, whose name I heard all day from the announcers, even when he didn't get a tackle or get a sack, he was just living in the Quincy backfield, causing lots and lots of havoc. He finished with 8 tackles, 1 sack, and 4 tackles for loss for the freshman in his first game. Incredible game from him. Freshman defensive back Adonis Whitney, freshman linebacker Clayton Arrowwood, and freshman defensive back Dante Lewis all finished the game with 1 interception. Fontbonne defense showed a lot of fight. Again, held Quincy to 7 points, you know, but ultimately all you got to do is be up when that clock hits 0, which Quincy did. But lots and lots of guys on that Fontbonne defense you want to keep your eyes on as the season develops. Griffins hit the road next week as they go to Kentucky to visit Bellarmine. Next up, we have the Bellarmine game, Bellarmine versus Midway. Bellarmine won this one 17-15. This game also went down to the wire. All three of the MSFL games went down to basically the last possession, last two possessions, if not the last minute on the clock. My player of the game in this one was freshman running back Brendan Reed. He finished with 93 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 5 receptions, 72 receiving yards, and also played defense, added a few tackles in there as well. Again, more historic action, just couldn't be happier with the ball that I saw from all six of these teams this weekend. Freshman quarterback Dylan Gaul threw 465 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. And another freshman quarterback. I believe every MSFL team started a freshman quarterback except Quincy University. So super, super young across the board, across that league, as you would expect in, you know, inaugural season. Despite being under pressure, did get sacked a lot. Did believe he got sacked five times, you know, numerous more pressures that don't, you know, end in a sack. He managed to steady the ship through the first ever school touchdown to sophomore tight end Brock Sneed. He finished with three receptions, 30 yards, and again, that first ever offensive touchdown in program history. But the star of the night, again, was Brandon Reed. Had a huge run, really gave Bellarmine a lot of momentum. Finishes with 165 all-purpose yards with the touchdown. Also, again, did play defense. Bellarmine appears that they're going to be one of the schools who do ask players to play both ways, at least in his first year. Some schools, they incorporate that in a part of their recruiting and their program. Other schools don't. Obviously, as they develop more as a program, they probably will get away from that, as most schools have. Remember at Chestnut Hill, we started with lots of dudes doing both ways. St. Thomas Aquinas had one or two guys going both ways. Caldwell had one or two guys going both ways. So some schools rely on it more than others early on in the program's career. And it appears Bellarmine's going to be asking guys to go both ways, in some situations full time. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out throughout the season. It's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's great because you have your best athletes on the field all the time, you know, just making athletic plays that you can't draw up. You know, it's about Jimmys and Joes, not X's and O's. But at the same time, you worry about durability. You worry about, you know, compiling hits. You know, it's very rarely that one hit that pops the muscle or breaks the bone. It's an accumulation of hits type of thing. So you just gotta be manageable there with your guys. You know, maybe get guys on a pitch count on one side of the ball. You know, as the season goes on, maybe one guy starts to move away from a particular side of the ball. But nevertheless, onto this night, you know, that Saturday night, amazing both sides of the ball from Brandon Reed and a few other guys as well. One of those being senior defensive back and running back Devin Hendricks. He had his 62 yards on the ground on offense, but on defense, he was the leading tackler, finished with nine tackles, also had two interceptions. So he's another guy, senior in the league. So having that senior leadership on both sides of the ball is going to be very, very positive. But again, played both sides of the ball at a high, high level, player of the week type level. So going to be interesting to see how these guys go on moving forward. And hopefully just my number one wish is that everyone is healthy all the time. As a former player and a coach, that's all I want. Everything else is in between. You know, throw it on the board. What happens, happens. But I just want everyone to be healthy all the time. You know, it's a dangerous game we play, even in, you know, spring football. But just love the grit and the fight from guys, you know, who are going to start full-time both ways. Just shows you how talented that they are. On the defensive side of the ball, along with Hendricks, freshman defensive lineman Plassier. He had a great game for the defensive line. Had eight tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, also an interception. So he definitely had a defensive player of the week type of week for the MSFL. Was all over the field. Really, really long body, really, really lean. Seeing a lot of tall, long guys reminiscent of in CSFL play, like a Troy Monroe, a Randy Ator, Colin Williams, Navante Dean, these tall, long, 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", guys make a really, really big difference in terms of just covering space, setting the edge, and of course, rushing the passer. So really, really happy to see him get some early season production as a young defensive lineman. Ultimately, though, despite Brandon Reed being a player of the game, honorable mention player of the game has to go to freshman kicker Ben Val, who sealed the game, who ultimately won the game when he nailed a 33-yard field goal with 44 seconds left after Midway had taken the lead. Bellarmine, you know, went on one final drive, got into field goal distance, and Ben, you know, took him home. And then the defense carried it out, prevented Midway from scoring again. So, you know, already having games go down to the wire that are won by kickers. So this is just a testament to how competitive these games are going to be all year. Ultimately, we will see a game as the season goes on where it might be more more lopsided. Because again, as teams get better, tape's out there. You know, the only element of surprise is in week one. After that, everybody has tape on you. Obviously, you're not running your whole playbook. You may add plays throughout the year. But element of surprise is out the window. But that being said, lots and lots competitive games, competitive football this week in the MSFL. Like I said, Bellarmine took this one on the last second field goal from a freshman kicker. Other side of the game, Midway, you know, they fought their way back into this game. They were down most of the game, had the lead for a little bit, ultimately didn't bring it home. Freshman quarterback DJ Palmer threw for 178 yards, 2 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. Again, another young quarterback making it happen, making a lot of productive plays. Just, you know, turnovers. It's going to happen with the young guys. Lots of highs, lots of lows with all freshman positions, but especially with the quarterback position, it is a roller coaster. Whether your team's good or your team's still developing, having a freshman quarterback is a roller coaster experience. So expect him to get better as the year goes on. Midway did not have much in terms of rushing the football, so passing was their primary source of offense. Freshman wide receiver Penther Alphonse had a big play, finished the game with 2 receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown. And freshman wide receiver Joshon Lee did his part to help the receiving game, finish with 3 receptions, 56 yards, and 1 touchdown. The defensive was led by a pair of freshmen as well. Linebacker Tristan Biros and linebacker Jonah Kyle combined for 19 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, and 4 forced fumbles between the young linebacker pair. So they were undoubtedly the catalyst for the Midway defense, making it happen, hard hits, living in the backfield, stuffing the run, stopping the pass, and forcing turnovers. So they're very excited to see where those two linebackers can take this performance next week when they go to visit Camelot College. But it's a lot of talented football players on these defenses, man, in the MSFL. Warms my heart, you know, being a defensive guy, defensive coach now, but just being a former defender, just seeing all the speed, pass rushing, the play from the secondary is, you know, makes me really, really happy. So interested to see Midway bounce back next week as they go to Indiana for the first time. Then we have our last game of the night. I was up till 11 p.m. watching this goddamn game, and I loved every second of it. St. Mary of the Woods College versus Camelot College St. Joseph. SMWC takes the win in this one with overtime, 34-28. My player of the game was freshman quarterback Brian Morrell. Finished with 188 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 44 yards on the ground. This one was maybe the most exciting game of the weekend. First overtime game in MSFL history. That didn't take very long at all. Another one where the team who won had to claw their way back in. SMWC was down most of the game and did not put a lot together. Freshman quarterback Brendan Landry, who actually started the game, he finished with 152 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 57 rushing yards. He ultimately, again, just was the theme of the weekend. Got hurt, unfortunately. Did not finish the game. But it cannot be stated enough that without his contributions, you know, Brian Morrell may not have been in a position to lead the team to win. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, SMWC does with two quarterbacks who, you know, out there were doing it. Usually you see a drop off, did not see much drop off. And whether it was just morale or straight level of play, Brian Morrell, once he was in the game, they started making it happen. They started moving. So interesting to see what they do with that moving forward. May cause a lot of headaches for opposing defense coordinators. Like I said, he finished the game with 188 yards, 3 touchdowns, 44 rushing yards. Once he came in, he was electric. He was making it happen. He was making plays with his legs, scrambling, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, finding guys down the field. Proved to be enough for, you know, them to win the game when he came in. You know, backup quarterback, one of the best positions on the team. But again, he proved the age-old adage, you stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And he came in, he did his thing, and he took his team to a victory. The workhorse for the SMWC offense, though, was definitely freshman running back Patrick Pira. He finished the game with 174 all-purpose yards, was the leading rusher on the day and the leading receiver on the day. Saw a lot of juice from this young running back, man. Every time he touched a rock, he was running by at least one or two defenders. And it was just amazing to watch him, you know, show the flashes of what type of all-purpose, all-down back he may become again in this league. So really, really excited to see what this young offensive ball carry can do moving forward. On the defensive side of the ball, freshman hybrid player defensive line linebacker Trey Jackson, he led the team with 10 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. And then right behind him, another hybrid guy, Hunter Cardwell, added 7 tackles and 3 sacks. So lots of big play from the defensive line, front seven, in this game and in the league. Have 3 sacks, first game as a freshman is no small feat. You know, having multiple tackles for loss in your first game as a freshman is no small feat. So, you know, defensively, there's a lot there. Even in the secondary, freshman defensive back Monty May added 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 interception. So, really, really good football coming from St. Mary of the Woods. They'll be heading home next week as they welcome Quincy to Indiana. CCSJ had the lead for most of the game, but didn't do enough to bring it home at the end of the day. Had the lead for most of the game without the offense, at least passing offense, really, really clicking. You know, it's cool to see the dichotomy of this game. So you have games in the CSFL where teams are passing is working and the running isn't. Some teams in the MSFL, the running's working while the passing isn't. Freshman quarterback Blaze Canoe only threw for 67 yards, 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. The reason that they were in the game and had a lead for most of the game was on the ground. Lots of impactful plays coming from their young ball carriers. Freshman running back Jonathan Flemings led the entire league in rushing on the weekend and spring football in general in rushing over the weekend. Finished with 133 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Was electric every time he touched the rock. Was powerful, strong, stout runner. And then freshman running back Elijah Antis, right behind him, added 53 yards on the ground and 1 touchdown. He looked electric. He was explosive. He was moving. He was shifty, making it happen. So CCSJ has 2 ball carriers there. Should be the catalyst for their offense moving forward, especially if the passing game is going to be struggling as it was this night. Although you expect it to get better. Again, week one, freshman quarterback. But on the ground, they were making it happen, man. They were driving. Again, every way you want it. You want 3, 4, 5, 2, 1, or you want a big 30-yard chunk of a run. They got it moving in both ways. So really excited to see those guys develop and see what they can do moving forward. On the defensive side of the ball, freshman linebacker Trevor Boosie led the team in tackles with 12, also had a tackle for loss. And freshman linebacker Isaac Hedgewood did his part to impact the game. He had 11 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 forced fumble. So CCSJ will be staying home next week as they welcome Midway for the first time in program history. So amazing slate of games. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Can't say it enough. It's just incredible to see how far spring football has come from the parity. In terms of scoring differential to the level of competition rising in the CSFL and seeing all the amazing players coming through these teams, these historic schools, these new schools, yada, yada, yada. Also seeing the MSFL get off the ground and just have as great of an opening weekend as you could hope. 3 great games, 3 one-score games, 3 games going down to the final possession of the game. So, you know, I know they're excited. I know their administration, all the school presidents, all the players are really, really excited. You know, I'm going to be locked in on the MSFL as intently as I am on the CSFL. And, you know, it's just going to continue to evolve week to week moving forward. Super excited. Can't say it enough. And I think we'll wrap it up here. This was a nice little long one. They should be around this length now because I'll have 3 extra games to cover each week. So, as always, I've been your host, Kyle. Thank you for tapping into the CSFL Hub podcast. Catch you guys next week. Peace.